May be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading today, the second part of it has Jesus asking some rhetorical questions to the crowd. Repeated three times. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? What was it? What did you expect? When John the Baptist began proclaiming, when he began saying, repent, when he began baptizing people in the Jordan River, what did you expect? What did you want to see when you went out there? We know the description of John the Baptist from earlier. He is not a man dressed in soft clothing who looks rather nice and dines on sumptuous food. Instead, what's described is someone who sounds a little bit more like a wilderness person, wearing a cloak of camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey. The description of John the Baptist that we heard this Advent is what Jesus has in mind when he asks the crowds what they expected to see. Because when they went out there and they did see John, when they were baptized by him, they found a man whose message aptly fits his description. He wasn't a guy who was shaken by the wind, blowing back and forth on what he said, depending on who his crowd was. He was a steadfast, abrupt, perhaps some might have even called him coarse-sounding man. But that was what was needed. That is what Israel needed. That was the kind of prophet that God needed to send to them. One who was not from fine palaces or royal places, but a firm and resolute and steadfast prophet with one thing in mind, to stand and call Israel to repentance and point to Christ. Christ has come, his kingdom is at hand. Repent, behold the Lamb of God, John the Baptist says throughout the Gospels. So Jesus asks the crowds, now that John's disciples have gone away once more, what did you expect? Did you want someone who would tell you what you wanted to hear? Someone who would indeed go back and forth and waffle and waver? And the answer to that rhetorical question, unfortunately, knowing God's people, is yes, they did want to see that. They wanted to find someone in that wilderness whose message would bend to suit their desires and their will. They wanted to find someone out there by the River Jordan who looked nice, who spoke softly and beautifully about all kinds of wonderful things that offended no one. When those Pharisees came out looking all wonderful themselves, John should have told them how amazing they were. He should have bent his message to throw praise on them, how they had kept the law so perfectly, how they had been such good caretakers and stewards of God's people, how blessed Israel was because they had these descendants of Abraham to look after them. Well, we know that's not true. Instead, the Pharisees came out last week in our gospel reading, and John calls them a brood of vipers. Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And don't presume to say, we have Abraham as our father. It Israel expected to find a bending, flexing, kind, soft-spoken person who wouldn't upset the apple cart. But instead, in Jesus' questions, what did you expect? We find the answer. John stands there and calls people to repentance, and he tells them exactly how it is. He tells them they are sinners. He tells them they must repent. He tells them that one greater is coming after him, and then he points them to Christ. And as uncomfortable as that may be for some of those people, or maybe even all of them, it is exactly what they needed. A final prophet once more to call to repentance and point them to God's promised Messiah. It is that unbending, unrefined John the Baptist who speaks that word of God, the forerunner of Christ. And it is that adherence to God's word and to God's message for his people that lands John the Baptist in prison where we find him this morning. John had called it like it was with King Herod. He didn't bend. He didn't waver. He publicly rebuked him for divorcing his wife in order to marry his brother's wife, who was also probably his niece. Repent, John the Baptist had told him. The audience did not matter. The fine clothes did not matter. The royal title did not matter. God says, repent. And so unbendingly and unwaveringly, John repeats that message even to kings. But now amongst God's people, the Jews themselves, Christ finds them doing the same thing with him. They love Christ when he is doing everything that they expect, when he is saying everything that they want to hear. But when he tells them hard truths, when he tells them what Scripture says, we hear the Bible tell us that they almost all desert him. That's why we have John the Baptist yet again. He stands here during this Advent season to point us to Christ. And with everything that Christmas has become, or Happy Holidays, or whatever it is that people say now, with all of the commercialization and the commercials on TV that tell us it's about presents and getting a Lexus, I guess, with a bow on it in the driveway. What a wonderful, clear voice and reminder that unshaken reed John the Baptist is. No. Advent, Christmas, is about Christ. Because we as Christians, just like those Jews, we like it too. When church becomes about what we want to hear. I'll keep picking on, but that's okay. When Kanye West and Joel Osteen decide to go now on a tour all over the place to tell people what they want to hear, that God wants you to be rich and wealthy, and that's his plan for you, do we buy into it? When we go out to see that, what we are seeing is indeed a reed that bends and flows in the wind and says whatever our sinful hearts want it to. Do we look for that church or that pastor, that place that will tell us that our sin is okay, that won't call us on it, will instead tell us what we want to hear? We find a reed that can bend and flex with the wind and our desires. With soft clothing and soft words. Which is why, going back, we start off our church year once again with John the Baptist on purpose. We must begin, and we cannot move past his call to repentance when he points us to Christ. Because that is our same sinful problem today as well. Over and over, we hear of or we know those who leave the church because they don't like what they hear. We hear of pastors who are unloving because they are unbending on God's word. I've had people come up to me before and say they don't like church because it talks too much about Jesus. We come and we hear that our sin actually is a sin. And we can't believe that someone would have the audacity to say that. But the church indeed today stands like John the Baptist. She is to be unmoving, unshaken, perhaps perceived even as coarse and harsh as John was, calling sinners to repentance and pointing them to Christ. Maybe would like to do with her as they did with John the Baptist, shut her up, make her say what we want to hear. But thanks be to God, by his grace, his church is not silenced. To ignore God's word is to ignore John the Baptist, is to ignore the preaching and the teaching of the church, and is ultimately, as Christ points out, it is to ignore him. Christ is glad and overjoyed for John the Baptist, because he arrives and he speaks the truth of God's word and he points them to where they need to go, to Christ. When we are pointed to Christ as well, when we see our sin, our faith does not get angry and we don't get disappointed. Faith hears the message of the gospel and we repent and we fix our eyes on Christ Jesus. We give thanks for the clearness and the clarity of God's word, which still rings out truthfully as John's voice did. We are pointed to our Savior, Christ Jesus, who does not blow about in the breeze, who does not hide himself and manifest himself in the fleetingness of temporal things. Christ, who even more so than John the Baptist, stands firm, so that when John or his word or any parent at home with their children or any pastor in a church points to Christ, it is clear where he is. Some of those very things that we as Lutherans hold so dear, that we are sometimes chastised for, maybe as being coarse and old-fashioned, are those John the Baptist things. Those things which point clearly and unshakably to Christ and do not change with the winds of each coming generation. We hold to God's word and the means of grace, and we point to them over and over again. Here is bread and wine. Here is body and blood. Here is Christ. Here at this baptismal font, here is water connected to word. Here is Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Our church here points us to Christ. Our liturgy points us to Christ. In the pulpit at my vicarage church, had the reminder written on it behind the back where only the pastor could see, from John 12:21, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." A reminder that even the words spoken from the pulpit are meant to point you to Christ. Luther thanks God for such clarity in John the Baptist and in his church over the ages. Luther says, in fact, were it not John's unwavering boldness in pointing to Christ Jesus, Luther says he himself would have died and gone to hell. But thanks be to God for John the Baptist, who pointed him to Jesus, who pointed him to his Savior and the forgiveness of sins that he has won. Which is why, again, we bring John the Baptist into Advent. His voice, his words, all of his life from all of those years ago still serves to point us, Christ Church, back to him. It's not what we might expect in Advent. It's not what people expected of John the Baptist back then either. But it is exactly what we need. John points us to Christ, humbled, born of a virgin, born in a manger, firmly saying, there. There is the kingdom of God. There is the forgiveness of sins. There is the Savior of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God. And as Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by him. We are not offended by the message that John the Baptist speaks. We are not offended to be called to repentance for our sins. And we are not offended to believe in a Savior who humbled himself to come to this earth to live and to die and to rise again to new life for us. With John the Baptist, we boldly point to the manger and we boldly point to the cross and say, yes, here is Christ sent for me. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.